Well, I'm absolutely delighted to be back at Faith. I love coming here. I love Brother Peace, but to be honest with you, I come to see Andrew. And me and Andrew get along. We understand each other, but I sure enjoy being around him. And I love missions conferences. I love them just because of tonight, to hear from these young men and their wives, their families, that just want God to do something through them. That is such an encouragement to older folks, that's for sure, old folks like me anyway. But preacher, thank you for having me back. You know, my wife said the same thing when I was here last time. When I got home, she said, I wish you could have stayed longer. Let's hurry along. Take your Bible, please. I want you to find two passages, Matthew 28 and Acts chapter 1. We're going to look at both of them briefly. And then we're going to have a sword drill. We're just going to walk through the scriptures tonight. I want you to see a number of passages. I'm going to go as quickly as I can and try to make a point that I think is important for us to understand. So when you find Matthew chapter 28, find as well Acts chapter 1, and we'll look at there. We'll make our prayer, and then we'll preach about what God has told us. Matthew 28, familiar scriptures, notice with me in verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, very clearly there, the Lord speaks to us, and by the way, He is speaking to us. This is the great commission that is given to His church. There are 11 apostles gathered there on that mount. If He were only giving this commission to those 11, then at their death, this commission is over. But it isn't over, and the Lord still wants to reach the world. And the truth is, He was delivering this commission to the first church. And so the commission is to the church and very clearly defines for us to be busy about three things. Number one, we are to go and we are to teach all nations. I'm sorry, I'll try to quit doing that. Teach all nations. The word there indicates that what we are to do is make disciples. We're to go tell them, preach to them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they are sinners, that He came and died in their place, and that if they will believe the truth about themselves, that they are indeed sinners, and that He is the only way to heaven, and they will confess what they believe in their heart, they'll confess it with their mouth, they can be saved. And just as we send missionaries to do that in Cambodia and Ireland and all these other places, we are to be busy about doing that right here. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Now, after we make disciples, after we preach the gospel to them, we are to baptize them. That's what the Lord tells us, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Listen, baptism is an important act for the believer. You know, we've kind of gotten to the place where we're kind of passé about baptism, but make no mistake about it, baptism is a command of the Scripture, and it is identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. I got saved in February of 1975. When God found me, I was a lost husband, a lost father, a lost man. And when God saved me, and He did, I was a very different man the second I got up off my knees after asking Him to be my Savior. And He wanted me to indicate to the world that knew me as a lost man that something had changed in my life. And the way that He wanted me to make that public statement was in the baptismal waters. And I went through baptism identifying myself with the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that He had brought to my life. That's still an important statement. Now, here in the United States, it's a little bit difficult because maybe we're embarrassed to be in front of a crowd, but I want you to know there's some places in the world where it will cost you everything to identify with Jesus Christ. And yet it is still an important thing to do. Then notice a third thing that we are to do. We are to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I want you to go preach the gospel and make disciples. I want you to baptize them and get them to identify with me in this new life, Jesus says. And then I want you to teach them everything that I've taught you. Teach them how to observe doing what I've taught you. My humble opinion, that takes a church. It takes going to a place and planting a church and establishing a church and making disciples and seeing them baptized and spending our lives teaching them how to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is now their Savior. And so that's what we're to be busy about. Now, I want you to notice in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, because in another place that Jesus gives us the Great Commission, he illustrates something else for this. Notice in verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now, we are in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. If you can allow me this leeway, let's say our Jerusalem is Elizabeth City, North Carolina. We are to be preaching the gospel, baptizing converts, and through the ministries of our church and our own personal discipleship, we are to be teaching them to observe all the things that God has commanded us in His Word. But listen, we are not to just be satisfied with doing that in Jerusalem, because there are people who have the need of the gospel beyond our own environs. And so we are to be concerned about Judea. We're to be concerned about a larger area than just surrounding us. Hey, he goes on and he says, not only in Jerusalem and Judea, I want you to be concerned about Samaria. Now, sometimes our only thought is that Samaria is just geographically a little bit further than Judea. But let me introduce another thought to you. Not only is it a little bit further geographically, it is incredibly different culturally. Samaria was hated by Judea, Jerusalem, and Jerusalem hated Samaria. And what God was saying was, listen, not everybody that I want you to reach, not everybody that I want you to baptize is going to look exactly like you do and live life exactly like you do in the place that you do. And God gives us a ringing understanding. He loves the whole world. And it doesn't matter what color they are. And it doesn't matter what land they live in. As a matter of fact, unto the uttermost parts of the earth, God wants us to make disciples, baptize them, and teach them to observe all the things that He's commanded us to do. Now, here's the question I have. I'm an old practical guy. How do we do that? How do we reach an entire world? You and I can't leave where we are and spend a month in Brazil and a month in Cambodia and a month in Ireland and accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. No, we've got to get people to those places and establish a church like we have a church that can baptize like we baptize and train like we train. We've got to send missionaries to churches. And by the way, we don't have to reinvent the wheel to do it. We have to go to the scripture and say, Lord, how did you do it? How did you do it in the first century? You know, we live in the 21st century. And if we're not careful, because we live in the 21st century, we can think we are so smart. And we ain't really all that bright. And here's the truth. If we'll study the scriptures, God revealed to us exactly how He wanted us to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to share with you for just a few moments tonight. To understand in 2021, how do we reach this world? All we have to do is go back to the first century, to the first church, and see what God told them, and then just do it, my friend. I want you to notice with me one single Greek word. Now, I don't want to oversimplify, but sometimes in our generation, we overcomplicate. If we will grasp one single Greek word, I think we will get an understanding of how God wants us to reach a lost world for Him. That Greek word is the Greek word that we would pronounce, and it would be propimpo. We would spell it in English, P-R-O-P-E-M-P-O. Now, I took an elementary Greek course about 50 years ago, so I am a scholar. No, I have a Strong's Concordance, and I study words, and I love what it gives to me. If you went there, it's used 9 times in the New Testament. And it's translated various ways, but they're all similar. It means literally brought or being brought. One place it's bring forth. One it's accompanied, supported, conducted. One Bible scholar teaches us this, that the word means literally to outfit or to fit out for a journey. Now, what does that mean for us? Well, it means that God gives us an example in the New Testament of 3 things. Number 1, we are to outfit men and women to go to the field by giving them monetary support. That's money. By the way, I know this is a Baptist church. I'm a Baptist pastor. I know that we are never to say that word. But you know why I love to say that word at the missions conference? Because none of it stays here. None of what we're talking about pays a salary. None of it turns the lights on. None of it buys new carpet. None of it buys new books. It is all about reaching the lost for Christ. And that's okay to talk about. But it not only means money. It means supporting in prayer, and it means supporting missionaries emotionally. Let me illustrate that to you very quickly. Now, I told you it was going to be a Bible study. Turn with me first to Acts chapter 15, and let me try to illustrate what I'm talking about. By the way, I'm preaching fast right now, so you got to listen fast. If we get out late tonight, it's because you did not listen fast. Chapter 15, verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church. Now notice that. Being brought on their way. There's our word. Propimpo. Being brought on their way by who? By the church. They passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Let me unpack this for you very quickly. Paul and Barnabas are ministering in Antioch. They are preaching the gospel, and quite frankly, they are seeing revival. And there are some Jews, some Judaizers, who are displeased with the effectiveness of the gospel, and they come into the area and they say, wait a minute, you're believing what Paul and Barnabas are preaching. And you know, they're certainly good men, but they're preaching an easy believism. They're preaching that all you've got to do is believe in Jesus and ask Him for forgiveness and you can be saved. And that's just not true. What you've got to do is you've got to do that, plus you've got to, and then they would list their things of the law. They were Judaizing. They were legalizing salvation. And Paul and Barnabas reared up and said, not so. And they came back to the church at Antioch and they said, listen, these Judaizers are confusing the preaching of the gospel. And we've got to get this straightened out. And the church recognized that indeed it was an issue. And so they said to Paul and Barnabas and a couple of others, we want to send you from Antioch to Jerusalem because we want to get the mind of Peter and the mind of James the elder. We want to sit down with them and talk to them, see what their mind is on this. Then you come back and report and we'll deal with it. But because we're sending you there, because we want Paul, you and Barnabas to drop what you're doing and we want you to go for us to Jerusalem. I guess we could say we're deputizing you to go to Jerusalem in our place. We will brought you there. Now that's not good English, but it's great preaching. We will brought you there. We will outfit you for the journey because you're going in our place. You're going on our mission and you're coming back to report to us. And so we're going to buy the food that you need. We're going to give what you need to take the journey, whether it be to hire those to go with you or carry food for you or buy you new shoes. We're going to outfit you for the journey because we're deputizing you. These missionaries, well, especially Sean and Andrew, are here on something that we've called deputation. Hey, we didn't make that up. It's biblical. Because you see, even though they're called to go to Ireland, and Brother Brown and his family are called to go to Cambodia, it's our job. We're the church in Elizabeth City. We are responsible for those souls in Dublin, in Galway. We are responsible for those souls in Cambodia. And God blessed us by sending some people along who were willing to go, and we're going to deputize them and send them in our place. And so it is right for us to outfit them for the journey. Notice with me, secondly, not only there in Acts 15, but go with me to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. I love this. Romans chapter 15. Look at verse 22. There the Bible says, for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I may somewhat be filled with your company. What is Paul doing? He's asking for money. Folks, he just is. He's saying, listen, I want to come to Rome and I want to minister to you. I want to spend time with you. I want to share my experiences with you and I want to teach you. But can I be honest about what my motive is? Here's my motive. Nobody has gone to Spain with the gospel and I want to get to Spain with the gospel, but I don't have the means to get to Spain by myself. I'm coming to you, church at Rome, and my expectation and my hope is that I will be brought by you. I'll be fit out for the journey to go preach the gospel in Spain by you. Somehow we have in our mind that the Apostle Paul only preached the gospel by the means of making tents and being bivocational. And I want you to understand that that's not the truth. There were times when he did work and where he was bivocational and did provide in that way. But by far the majority of times he was supported by the churches in Macedonia. He was supported by the church at Rome. He was supported by the church of Antioch because those churches knew the truth. The world was their responsibility and they needed somebody to go in their place. and they supported Paul to do just that. Let me show you one more that has to do with funds. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Let's pick up the reading in verse 5. There the Bible says, "Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go." Now you talk about indefinite deputation. Can you imagine the Shaunavans showing up for the missions conference saying, "We're not sure where we're going. We just want you to support us." Now, I'm not making light of that. But Paul was trustworthy. He was going to go where God was going to tell him to go. But what he's saying to the church is, God's not done with me. God's going to use me. God's sending me somewhere. I'm going to stop by and minister to you. I'm going to winter with you. But then my expectation, my hope is that you will bring me to the place God lays on my heart, that you will outfit me for the journey, that you will support me so I can reach that place. Now, let's go on. Verse 7. "For I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." Get verse 10. "Now, if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but," get this, "conduct him forth in peace." That's our word, propimpo. Folks, here's all I'm trying to get across to you. Paul was not shy about saying this. As the church, we've got a responsibility to reach a lost world. And it takes supplies. And it takes support. And I am not going to be shy. I'm not going to hinder the work of God. I'm going to come and I'm going to say to you, will you help me? Will you help me get to this place? And the response of a healthy and good church is yes. Yes, as the members of the church, we feel the responsibility that we have got to send people to these places where they can build churches and make disciples and see them baptized. Yes, we will give so that you can go. Now, lest I make this too easy, I wish somewhere in my mind, as a man, I wish a dollar bill solved the world's problems. I wish all it required was is that we give our money, men will go, and the world will be saved. But I want you to understand something. There's not enough money without God's hand on it to accomplish God's work. And there is an enemy that stands desiring to counter everything we do. And my friend, these people need money to go where God has called them to go, but they need something even more than that. They need the power of God. They need the prayers of God's people to do the work that God wants them to do in that place. I want you to notice, let's go back to the book of Acts, chapter 21. Pardon me. Acts chapter 21. And look at verse 5. "And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Cus, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara. And finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria, landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unlade her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us," there's our word, propimpo, "they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. Now, what is Paul talking about? Hey, when we get to Acts chapter 21, the tickets have already been bought. It's not that they need another ticket to get on another ship. The ship, they've already bought the fare. They've just stopped in this port to unload and load. And it was Paul's habit to find the bunch of Christians, if there were some there, and meet with them and worship with them. It's not that more money is needed, but I want you to notice what these people do. When the ship is loaded and when Paul and they're ready to go, there's a man in the church who is deeply concerned about Paul's going. He's going back to Jerusalem. And he approaches Paul and he says, Paul, I don't want you to go. Because I want you to know I have this sense. I have the sense that where you're going and the situation you're going into is incredibly dangerous. And I just think you'd be wiser to not go. Now, the Apostle Paul was committed to the will of God. He was committed to go. And so when he rejected the counsel of that man, the entire church got up and walked down with Paul to the dock where the ship was loaded and ready to go. And I want you to notice what they did. The Bible tells us that there they all prayed. They prayed. This wasn't about giving money. They were outfitting Paul for the journey with prayer because they knew Paul was going into a dangerous situation. Hey, I just want this church to understand that our responsibility does not end when we put the number on our faith promise card. Our obligation does not stop when we give the money. We are sending these kids into dark corners of the world. We're asking them to do things that, I'm going to be quite honest with you, would be beyond me. I have no clue how you learn Cambodian. What's the name of the language? Cambodian. How do you do that? How do you raise five kids and learn Cambodian? How do you do that? How do you go break through a culture that has been under the darkness of Roman Catholicism for centuries and then found out it was all a lie? And they are bitter against religion. They are bitter against churches. They have gone progressive in their heart and their mind. How do you break through that? There's not $10 on the globe that's going to break through that. $10 will get you there. But only the power of God, only begging God to work, will break through, will give these young people the abilities that they need, the strength, the discernment, the judgment, the understanding. Only God. And somehow, we think when the check is written, our job's done. I'll tell you, you ought to be calling out the names of the missionaries on this wall. I walked around these walls, saw who you're supporting and these that you want to support, and I'm telling you that they need God's power on them, and that only comes when they pray, we pray for God to work. Our church in Heritage, we made a big deal about the faith promise on Sunday morning. But I'll tell you, there was an equal emphasis on Sunday night. We had a prayer commitment for a missionary family. And you, by faith, took a name and you were to pray for those missionaries daily. You were to gather your children around. You were to know the names of their children. You were to pray for their prayer letter and the things they said they needed. You were to be faithful in prayer because no amount of money scares the devil. The power of God does. Would you notice one last thing with me? Let's go backwards and go up to chapter 20 and notice with me in verse 33. Verse 33. Now we're on the same journey, but this is before the one we just talked about. The ticket is bought And the prayer has been made. Look at verse 33. I have coveted no man's silver, gold, or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And that is true. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. Now let me stop there. The ticket has been bought. The supplies have been supplied. The prayer has been made. But notice this. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him. They propimpoed him unto the ship. What does that mean? Does that mean that they literally picked Paul up and carried him, brought him to the ship? No, it doesn't mean they carried him to the ship. It doesn't mean that they gave him another check. We already saw that they prayed. No, they walked with him to the ship. And in my mind's eye, can I tell you what I see? I see this group of people, this house church, standing on that bank, and they're watching that ship, and they are going to stand there until it is out of sight. They're watching it out of the harbor and out into the sea, and they're watching it approach the horizon, and they're going to stand there because that little preacher is standing on that boat watching them, and they're watching him. And the message is this: no matter how far you go, we remember you. You know, one of the greatest difficulties of being a missionary is wondering if anybody even knows where you are. Wondering if anybody even cares what you do. Browns have 5 children. Hey, are you ready for this? They love their kids as much as you. As much as you love yours. They don't like you. No. Just waking you up. Boy, when my grandkids have a birthday, I'm married to a woman who knows no limits. I'm just telling you. Those kids are going to have a party. They're going to get texts. They're going to get cards. They're going to get presents. I mean, it's a big deal. Now, I know in communication that somebody can reach out to those kids, but I wonder, does anybody reach out to those kids? 3:00 in the morning, and their middle child has 102 fever. You know what I did if my kid had 102 fever? I went out and got in my car that was in my garage. I took him to the hospital, and there was a doctor waiting there to attend to my child. I don't know that they have that, but I would doubt that they would have it that easily, if any at all. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying that our responsibility does not end with the check. It doesn't even end with our prayer. We are responsible through the ministries of these people that we're sending in our place to communicate with them, to care about them, to love them. As I walked around looking at these missionaries, I saw some very young people, and that thrills my heart. But I also saw some older people, maybe a little bit younger than me or about my age. And I'll tell you what instantly goes in my mind when I see that. They've left kids behind in the States and gone back to the field. And they're as excited about their grandchildren as we are. Here's all I'm saying is that with our ability to communicate, we can send an email. We can send a text. We can send a card. We can stay in touch. And we can make these people know that we know the names of their children. We know what they had on their prayer letter. We know what their burden is. We know what their need is. And we care. I hope every person in this room wrestles with God about what God would have you to give. But I hope you equally wrestle with this. Do I honestly pray for the people that we've sent? And I want you to wrestle with this. Isn't there something I could do in some way to communicate to that little mother who is homeschooling four or five children in a country where she probably doesn't speak the language because she's raising kids while he's going to language school? She feels isolated, and she has the same dreams for her children that you have for yours, and yet she faces a dozen more problems culturally, physically, than you face, and it would be wonderful just sometimes for somebody to remember them, for somebody to say, we're standing on the shore watching, and we're not going to forget you. And we're not going to forget your dreams and what God is doing in and through your life. And folks, that's what I want you to get tonight. That's what they did in the first century. We don't have to reinvent it. We don't have to rethink it. We have got to say, listen, as a church, we want to send people to the field because God has made us responsible to preach the gospel. God has made us responsible to baptize. God has made us responsible to train the world to observe what He has taught us. And we've got to do that here and there and everywhere. And the only way we can do it is to send those who God called. And we've got to write the checks. And we've got to pray the prayers. And we got to stay in touch. Because it's not a game. It's real. Now here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you on your way out tonight to pick up a Faith Promise commitment card. Don't forget it. Don't just not have one because we didn't hand them out. It's COVID. That's what I want to do to COVID. Pick one up and wrestle with it. Don't fill it out yet. Go home and wrestle with it. Say, God, what would you have me to give? I'm going to preach Friday night if God gives me the liberty. Why Faith Promise is useful to you. Go wrestle with it. And then wrestle with this. I pray for my kids. I pray for my family's health. I pray for a lot of stuff that's all about what touches me. But I can't say that I've got an honest prayer life for the missionaries of our church. It'd be so simple. Go write their names down. Go read their letters and get the needs of their letters. And just begin to pray. And then say to yourself, wrestle with this. Isn't there some way I could minister to them? Do you know how easy email is? You say, well, I don't like getting all them emails. Go sit in a jungle in Cambodia and see if you like to get one. See if somebody's saying, hey, it's Orville's birthday. We just wanted you to know. You don't have an Orville, do you? But we're so close to Kitty Hawk, you should. What would that do to a mom's heart? What would it do to a mom's heart? Lift them up. That's our job. Would you pray with me tonight? Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the way that you've blessed our lives and you've blessed our church. We're so grateful for how you use us. We confess to you that Lord, we're amazed that you do. I pray now in this moment, we rejoice in the Canavans going to Ireland and the Browns there in Cambodia and all these. We'll hear from more of the Shawls, the Steltsics, and Lord, we rejoice in these folks that go. And though you have not called us to go, we've got responsibilities. And so I pray tonight that every person in this room would struggle, would wrestle to find what you want them to write on that card. Look, I'm not going to ask you to come forward on this, but just I wonder how many would say, preacher, by an uplifted hand, I'm willing to at least pick up that card and just spend time with God over the next day or two saying, God, what would you have me give? Would you slip your hand up? I'm willing to do that, preacher. I'm willing to get that card, wrestle with God on what he wants me to give. God bless you. I wonder how many would say, preacher, you know, no use denying it. I've not prayed for missionaries as I should. Oh, I might mention them. I might mention a name of a missionary I know or I love, but I've not been faithful as a church member to pray for our missionaries and our outreach. But preacher, what I'm saying to you is I'll wrestle with that. I will wrestle and ask God to show me how I can become effective in praying for our missionaries. If you'll wrestle with that, would you just slip your hand up? Just, God, yeah, I get it. I'll do that. And then, preacher, sometimes I forget they're people. So appreciated Brother Brown's testimony tonight. Been tough. Been tough. I want to tell you, we could duplicate that 1,000 times. People in places that wonder if anybody knows, if anybody cares. People facing things you and I don't know. But if we would just, in a simple way, don't have to send a package. Wonderful if you can. But you can send an email. You can send a card. And simply communicate, I know you're there. Care about what you're going through. I wonder if you'd be willing to wrestle with that and figure out, God, how can I be an encouragement to a missionary family? If you're willing to wrestle with that and ask God's leadership, would you slip your hand up? God bless you. Say, many. Now, Father, you've seen our hearts. You've seen the need, and I pray that you would speak to us. Lord, this is a wonderful church and wonderful people. We could be an even greater blessing to discouraged people, to needy people, to people who need the power of God to break through where they are. Lord, we could give more, or we could begin to give. So, Lord, I pray for your people that as we give this brief invitation, or this invitation, that they would deal with this in their heart. Some may want to come and just spend some moments at the altar and saying, help me, Lord. Help me to know how to best do this. But speak as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you quiet?